We are going to go into part four of the Jesus Is series. And today I have the honor to talk about Jesus is the miracle maker. Let me say that again. Jesus is the miracle maker. And our text today is found in John chapter 6, 1 through 15. And in this chapter, we are going to see one of the most impactful miracles that Jesus did in his public ministry. Now, I don't know if you know this. Some of you may know this, some may not. But this miracle is the only miracle repeated in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So what that tells us is that this had to be the most memorable event in Jesus' public ministry to these disciples. Well, on this day in July 2nd, 2017, I believe that this chapter, these verses have a lot still to speak to us today. So as we jump into this, I want you to take your sermon notes out. You can follow along there, and I'm going to show you the video from the Gospel of John movie. So watch this clip.
Jesus went up a hill and sat down with his disciples. The time for the Passover festival was near. Jesus looked around and saw that a large crowd was coming to him.
Where can we buy enough food to feed all these people?
He said this to test Philip. Actually, he already knew what he would do.
For everyone to have even a little, it would take more than 200 silver coins to buy enough bread.
Another one of his disciples, Andrew, who was Simon Peter's brother, said,
There is a boy here who has 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 fish. But they will certainly not be enough for all these people.
Make the people sit down.
There was a lot of grass there, so all the people sat down. There were about 5,000 men. Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to God, and distributed to the people who were sitting there.
This miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 gives us a picture of who Jesus really is. And this morning, I want to tell you that Jesus is a providential God. He is the miracle maker. And if you're here this morning and you're needing a miracle in your life, if you're here this morning and you're just in a place where you just don't know what tomorrow's going to hold, I want to tell you with confidence this morning that you can trust the miracle maker named Jesus Christ. Not only can you trust him, but he will do more than you can think or imagine in your life. And these verses show us, because there's 3 things I want to show you this morning from this chapter. And so the first one I want to tell you is this: before any miracle can take place in your life or anywhere, we have to understand that Jesus is in full control of every situation. Let me say it again. The miracle maker is in control of every situation. Now look at the scripture with me. The Bible says, here in John chapter 6, verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because why? Why were they following him? They saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountain, sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him. Now let's stop right here. If you're writing notes, maybe you circle that word saw. Everybody say Jesus saw. Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him. He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for the people to eat?" And he asked this only to what? To test him. And I love what the scripture says. For he already had in mind what he was going to do. I figured you'd be shouting on that one already. Let me read it one more time. For he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for everyone to have a bite." Now I want to show you this. From these verses, we see a problem arising. Jesus is doing amazing things. He's transforming the world. People are seeing things they have never seen before. Sick people are being made whole. Diseased people are being set free. Demon-possessed are being set free from last Sunday. Jesus is bringing transformation. He's bringing a revelation to this world that who he is. And all these people are following him. And all of a sudden, how many of you know human beings have issues because at certain times we get hungry? Maybe you right now, your stomach is growling, and perhaps there in the crowd, the stomachs begin to grumble, and people were kind of getting fidgety, and all of a sudden, Jesus looks up, and he sees all these people, and he asks a question. But can you imagine what it must have been like when he looked at Philip and said, "Philip, what are we going to do about it?" "I don't know. What are you going to do about it?" I want to show you a picture. Here's a picture of, here's just a lot of people here. Can you imagine? You're a disciple, you're Philip, you're looking at all these people. Now, if you notice what the scripture says, 5,000 men. That didn't include children and wives and the ladies. So scholars estimate there could have been 20,000 people at this miracle. And he turns to Philip and he says, "Hey, we have an issue. We also know that they're in a region that's a desert region. I mean, how many of you know there's no McDonald's there? And they're out in the middle of nowhere, and if they have to get food, they have to travel a great distance to find food." And here's Jesus is standing there, and I could just see him. How many's ever played hide-and-go-seek with maybe your child, and you're sneaking up on them, and you just can't help but start laughing because you're about to get them? You guys ever been there? I can imagine Jesus standing there, and he just says, "Watch this. Hey, Philip, what are we going to do?" But I want you to notice, as I was studying this, I looked up the word desert, and the desert has three meanings. It means a dry area. It means a deprived area and a lifeless place. And it's here we find Jesus performing one of the most significant ministries or miracles of his public ministry. So if you're here this morning and you're in a deprived place, a lifeless place, you're in a good place because that's where Jesus is about to perform a miracle. But how many know for a miracle to happen, you have to be in a hopeless situation? So once again, if you find yourself in a hopeless situation, I don't want to minimize where you're at or what's going on, but I do want to tell you this morning, you're in the greatest place that you could ever be, and that's the house of God. Because the miracle maker is here, and he loves hopeless situations. What is a hopeless situation? It's a situation that there's nothing you can possibly do in your human ability. But that's where God will come in and do something far greater than you can think or imagine. So this morning, I want you to understand, Jesus, the miracle maker, is in control of every situation. He looks at Philip. Now, why did he ask Philip this? Well, Philip begins to calculate in his head all it's going to cost. He says it's going to be 8 months' wages. And Philip kind of reminds me of a lot of us sometimes. You know, Philip's the number guy. How many number people do we have in here? I mean, you're able to have the math all figured out before you get up to the cash register at the grocery store, right? You see, Philip was that type of person, but I think Jesus was trying to show us something because Philip's trying to figure it out. How many of you know in our own lives when miracles take place, sometimes it's not how we figure it out the way it happens? Sometimes we try to rely too much on our human ability. Now, thank God that God gave us a brain to think with, a mind to research and study. But the amazing thing about Jesus is, it don't matter what you think in your mind, he already knows what he's going to do. He already knows. Philip says, hey, Lord, I'm not sure we can do this. I'm not sure we have enough money here. But sometimes miracles in our lives happen right in front of us when we see it. But other times miracles come disguised because they don't occur the way they thought they would. And so the point this morning is Jesus is Lord over all hopeless situations, and you can trust him. So this brings me to the second thing I want to show you. Not only is Jesus in full control, but the second thing is the miracle maker uses our inadequate resources. Here Philip is trying to figure all this out, and all of a sudden the Bible says another disciple, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. It's amazing, you know, what do we know about Peter? We read in scripture he was a big mouth, right? He always spoke, maybe when he shouldn't have spoke, or, oh Lord, I will die for you, and we know what happened to Peter. Well, you see, it runs through the family. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, and he says, hey, here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among what? Jesus said, have the people sit down. Why could Jesus say, have the people sit down with confidence? Because he already knew what he was going to do. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. And Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed it to those who were seated as much, read it with me, as much as they wanted, and he did the same with what? As much as they wanted. Jesus took the loaves, he blessed it, and he said, Lord, take this. And what happened? He gave thanks and they distributed it. But here's the thing I want you to understand. Many times when it comes to miracles, God will always use what you have to offer. Did you hear me? When it comes to miracles, God will always use what you have to offer. And the amazing thing about this is what you think is insignificant, what you think is inadequate, is what God will do the greatest thing ever with. Did you know that your smile could be a miracle in someone else's life? Did you know that your simple handshake or your kind word or your encouragement can be that very thing that lifts someone out of a terrible situation? Your simple giving of your tithes and offerings. Well, Pastor Jason, you don't understand. I work at Target. I don't make very much money. Let me tell you something. You're giving to missions. You're giving to tithes. Your simple serving at Serve Day. Your hands, your feet, what you think is inadequate, God can take it and make something great out of it called a miracle. There are many stories I can tell you where people were going to take their life through suicide, but they come across someone who took time for them. What seemed to be an inadequate time, or maybe it was just an inadequate smile, was the very thing that changed that person's life. So Andrew speaks up and says, hey, Jesus, we do have something here. Here's a little boy over here in his G.I. Joe lunchbox. Am I the only one at a G.I. Joe lunchbox? Let me scratch that for 11 a.m. service. He says, here's someone here. He has something here. But even Andrew didn't believe it was going to be enough. Now, let me tell you, here's what it looked like. You know, these 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. If I lived in the Bible days, I'd probably be real skinny because I would not eat that. Anything that looks back at you? No. Pastor tells us about his travels in Africa and things like that he had eaten. No, no. It has to look like this. Come on now. I'm kidding. But you know what? I think Jesus would have to perform a miracle in my eyes so I would see that instead of those fish. I'm sitting here trying to study. How did they do that? I mean, were they pulling it apart with their hands, and did they cook it? I don't know. But although Andrew was aware of the greatness of the need, he may have thought that this was an inadequate solution to feed all these people. You see, from the text, the Greek word for boy here is a double diminutive. It means that the boy was extremely and unusually small. In other words, he probably was overlooked by everyone. He was overlooked. Oh, yeah, he has his little lunchbox there, but that's not enough, and he was pushed to the side. Another thing I want you to understand is further, the designation of the bread of barley loaves suggests something that would normally not be even offered to a guest. Did you know in the Bible days, barley loaves were poor folks' food? And also, the fish is also a diminutive in the Greek word because it was an extremely small fish. But we know the miracle maker. And he's in full control of every situation. And he uses inadequate things, what's insignificant to people, to do amazing things that will change the world. He takes this little boy's lunch. And you know this end of the story. He breaks it open because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, this is not in your notes, but if you want to write this down, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says this, but God chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chooses the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chooses the lowly things and of the world and the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are. So this morning, I want you to understand, God can perform a miracle through your life. He can take what is insignificant to you and impact the world. And so if you're here this morning and you have just a little bit of faith, or you have just a little bit of belief, or if you have just a little bit of courage, God is able to take that little bit of what you have and do something extraordinary through your life. So I want you to hold your head up high this morning, people of God, sons and daughters of God, because our God is able to do exceedingly above and beyond what you can think or imagine. You're sitting here this morning, you're watching online. I want to tell you, it's not over. It's not over. You might be sitting in a situation with your marriage. I want to tell you, God can take the inadequacy and make something significant out of it. It might take you just to be smiling. It might take you to say an encouraging word to that husband or that wife. I want to tell you, you might have a child that's run away from the Lord and you've been praying for years or months or days. I want to tell you, this 4th of July, you can get together and say something or love them or do something. God can take what's inadequate in your life and make something adequate that can do something greater than you can think or imagine. I want to encourage you this morning. Don't give in. Don't give out. No matter what's going on in the world today, we are a part of a free nation where God has allowed us to be here at Grace Assembly of God. Look at what we've been able to accomplish at this church. Look at the lives that have been changed at this church. Look at the things God has allowed us to do. He took our resources, the things that we have given, and he did something amazing with it, causing miracles for the lives of people. Just a few weeks ago, we served at the Freedom Festival, and I can tell you over and over, people that work for this city, they were amazed by this church. People said, that's the most giving church I have ever seen. It even got to the place that some of these prominent people said, man, I'm telling you what, you're making something stir up inside of me. I'm going to go check out what's going on at Grace Assembly of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. God took an inadequate situation. I don't know about you, but that trash was nasty to clean up when it was over. The things we found on that ground should not be said in public. But God takes something like that. Our teenagers and our kids go out there at 11 o'clock at night and work for almost an hour, 2 hours cleaning up that park. It said something huge to people that are looking for a solution to their problems. Because God takes our inadequate resources and he does miracles out of them. So let me just finish this second thing with this. Whatever you have, church, just do what God tells you. All through the scriptures, we see where God used men and women. What did he say? He said, Moses, pick up your rod. And then God parted the Red Sea. What did he say? All through scriptures, hey, David, pick up your sling and just throw it. I will take care of it from here. God says for us to do the natural, he will do the supernatural. Pastor Wayne has said that over and over. He tells us in the scripture, if you're sick, lay your hands on them and pray. He will do the supernatural. You just have to lay your hands on and believe. Are you with me? Just do what he tells you to do. If he says, talk to your neighbor, just open your mouth. He will give you the words to say. If you're in a conflict situation, follow what scripture says. A gentle answer turns away wrath. You see, that's why we've got to know the Bible. That's why we've got to study Scripture, because it's the little things that do the great things. Oh, man, are you all with me this morning? Not only is Christ over all hopeless situations, not only does he use the gifts that we have, our resources that we have to offer, but when he's done, the miracle maker abundantly supplies for our needs. Isn't that amazing? The Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 12, when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing what? Let nothing what? Listen, your smile is not wasted. Your time here today is not wasted. Your giving in the offering today is not wasted. Your time in Africa, all you that just got back from Africa, will not be wasted, because God looks down from heaven, and if he sees his sons and daughters doing what he's commanded you to do, he will pour favor and blessing on your life than you can ever comprehend or think, because he is an abundant God, and he does more than what we can think or imagine. They had 12 baskets of leftovers. He said, let nothing be less. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley, or the poor folks' food, left over by those who had eaten. And after the people saw this sign Jesus performed, they begin to say, surely this is a prophet who has come into the world. All of a sudden, things begin to open up. People became hungry about who this Jesus was. We know from these scriptures, this is just a few short weeks, Jesus is going to give his life on the cross. And he's going to completely turn everyone's paradigm upside down, because he did not come to be an earthly king. He came to be a spiritual king that can bring freedom to all of us. But the amazing thing, as I was studying this, the Bible says that they had all had enough to eat. Praise God. Jesus loves to eat. Jesus took this little boy's lunch of poor folks' bread, 2 small fish, and fed everyone in the crowd. Every man, woman, boy, girl was well fed. And I'm sure even the disciples and this young boy had a full belly from this miracle. After all these leftovers are gathered up, the Bible tells us that there were 12 baskets, and Jesus took a hopeless situation using what seemed to be insignificant to feed 5,000 men and their families. And as I was studying this, my heart was quickened. 12 baskets of leftovers. 12 disciples, 12 baskets of leftovers. Now, the Bible don't say anything about what happened to this leftover fish and bread. But you know what I think? I think God was teaching his followers, his disciples, a very important lesson. Not only will I feed you today, but I will feed you tomorrow too. Perhaps this was their lunch and their dinner for the next couple days after the miracle. And that's how Jesus operates. If you're a follower of Jesus in this place this morning, God will not only take care of you today, but when you lay your head down on your pillow tonight and wake up in the morning, he is the same God that will be there in the morning. And the Bible says that his mercies are new every single day. He never changes. The God of the past is the God of today, and when I wake up in the morning, he will be God of tomorrow morning when I wake up. And so what I believe he's telling us in 2017, I've got this. I've got all this under control. If you will trust me and simply do what I've asked you to do, I will make sure you're taken care of a week from now, a month from now, a year from now. I will make sure your marriage is fully whole. I will make sure your son and your daughter comes back. I will make sure you have everything that you have need of. You know why I can say that this morning? Because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, don't worry about what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or what you shall wear, for the pagans run after these things. But notice what this says, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things that you have need of will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. So what Jesus is telling us today, on July 2nd, make the most of this day. Make the most of this day. You want to perform a miracle for someone's life? When church is over today, don't instantly run out. Look for somebody that you don't know and talk to them. Look for somebody whose head is hanging low and go give them a hug. Go give them a high five and tell them you can make it. The simple thing for us is just keep our eyes open to be ready to give an answer for whatever he tells us to do. Keep your eyes open. Another thing you can do this morning is go out to that table where you see all those Serve Day t-shirts and put your name on the dotted line. What may be an inadequate resource, God can use you to change lives of people. Let me tell you this, me and Pastor Ed were sitting at one of the Freedom Festival meetings, and one of the guys there, his name was Tony, and he works for the Greenwood School System. And he just scooted up to us and he says, I want to tell you guys something. Your church has quite the name in Greenwood School Corporation. I'm sitting there like, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. You understand? Us simply just going to help a school, just paint a curve, put mulch down on a playground, clean up the school, has shown more love than anything else we have ever done. Isn't that amazing? Inadequate resources we think is inadequate or insignificant, God makes great. And I believe after July 15th, we're gonna see something great because God will not only bless them, but he's gonna bless us because we're doing what he told us to do. And what did he tell us to do? Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every nation, every tribe, every tongue. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them the word. All these things he tells us in the book of Acts. And what he says, I will be with you to the end. I love what Pastor Wayne says all the time. When we do God's will, which is loving people and missions, God will take care of the wills that we have. It may not be the way we want it sometimes, but he will always make sure we're taken care of. And so this morning, I want to encourage you, sign up today, be a part of this great moment. But this morning, if you're here and you find yourself in a deprived place, you find yourself in a dry place or a lifeless place, a hopeless place, you're in the right place. Because this morning, God is ready to do a miracle for you. You know why? Because the Bible says he looked up and he saw the crowd. Tonight, or this morning, he's looking at you. He sees everyone in this crowd. He knows you by name. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows what you're thinking about right now. It might be fish. I don't know. But he knows what you're thinking. He knows your fears. He knows your greatest wants. He knows everything about you. He knows if you're sitting here and you're wondering, how am I gonna make it this week? I'm getting ready to be around family that we have a tough time together. Things are just not the way they should be. He knows. Maybe you're here and you just received a notice from the doctor and you're just sitting here thinking, what am I gonna do? I don't know what I'm gonna do. And you're sitting here and you have fear coming on you. I want you to know he sees you this morning and he already knows what he's going to do for you. The only thing he's waiting on is this. Are you going to do your part so he can do his part? What is your part? To simply believe the word. To simply believe that he is Lord of lords and King of kings, that he is over all situations. And that what I have to offer, God can use it for miracles. My heart is so broken today because we are part of church sometimes and people are... they just don't understand who they are in Christ. Their true identity. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God. There's no stepchildren in this room this morning. The Bible says that he looks at all of you the same. There's no respecter of persons. As my grandpa used to say, there's no big eyes or little U's. We're all the same in the eyes of God. And there's no miracle too big or too small that he cannot do for you. You might be sitting up in the stadium seats and you're like, I sit up here. No one knows I'm here. God knows you're here. His Holy Spirit knows you're here. He knows everything about you, the struggles, the loneliness, the worry. He knows about it. He knows about it. Are we going to trust him this morning? Let's all stand to our feet. What I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to invite our prayer warriors, our small group leaders, our pastors. If you guys can just come to the section where you're seated and just stand. We want to give some opportunity this morning for you to find your miracle. Now, everybody listen to me, okay? Listen to me right here. I just really feel an unction just to say this. You see, the Bible tells us, as I already said, lay hands on them and pray. So all you prayer folks that are up here praying, just simply do what he said. Lay your hands on them and pray. You don't have to have the right words to say. You guys that are praying, just pray. He'll take it from there. You that are standing out here, God is just saying, will you take that step of faith? Go find someone to help you pray for your situation. Just take the step. You take the step, God will take the step to you. That's all it is. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, I'm so glad that you are the miracle maker this morning. I'm so thankful this morning that you are over every situation, every hopeless situation, you're there. Every dry place, you're there. Every lifeless place, you are there. And all you have to do is speak, Lord, and life will come back. Lord, we read from our scriptures today that you already knew what you're going to do. And so, God, we can trust you as our providential God, as our sovereign God this morning. We can trust you. And so, Lord, I just pray for everyone that's in this house this morning that you would give them the confidence to know that you see them, you hear their prayer, and you want to perform a miracle for them. So, God, as we open this time of prayer, Lord, give them the courage to step out. Shut the voice of the devil. Let them step out in Jesus' name. If you need a miracle this morning, I want you to step out and find someone to pray for you. Go ahead and step out right now. As you walk up here, believe God. Have confidence this morning that God is able. Have confidence this morning that God is able. Jesus sees you this morning. Lord Jesus, meet the needs of these folks.
The one.